This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with members of the Franklin High School Empty Bowls Club. Brenda Johnson, the Franklin High School ceramics teacher and club advisor as well. The students introduce themselves, Sydney Brady, Emma Owens, and Lauren Wilson. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about the nature of the event and making bowls for it. We find out that Reiku is a special clay firing process. The silent auction website link is included in the show notes. Be sure to register before you start bidding. You can also visit the page to make a donation to the Franklin Food Pantry. So without any further ado, let's listen to our conversation for the Empty Bowls for 2021. So Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio on the local Franklin area dial at 102.9 and anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM. Here today to talk the Empty Bowls fundraiser, which again has morphed and changed as it has morphed through the year and this COVID. So this is the second year in a row of changes. So we're not actually having the dinner like we were. So we'll get into the details. Brenda Johnson, the teacher and ceramics lead for Empty Bowls. Welcome, Brenda.
Thank you.
And you've got some Empty Bowls members with you, it looks like.
Yes, there are several students here with us this afternoon. I'll have Sydney introduce herself, and then Emma, and then Lauren will as well.
Hi, I'm Sydney. I have a little bit of a cold, so that's why my voice doesn't sound the best.
But at least it's a good voice.
Yeah, thanks. I'm the president of Empty Bowls this year. I've been in the club for 4 years, so I've been involved with the fundraiser a lot and kind of know how it works. And I'm excited to get the fundraiser started this year.
Cool. And Sydney, why don't you tell us what your plans are for next year?
Yeah, I am planning to attend Hofstra University in the fall.
Hofstra, yes. Down on Long Island, I think. They're close to New York City, but on the Long Island side, if I recall. Excellent. Any particular subject areas, or you still haven't got to fill that out? Not that you have to define everything today, by any means.
Yeah.
Learning is supposed to be lifelong as it is. So,
I'm undecided, but I am planning on pursuing the sciences or like a health science major.
And Emma?
Hey, my name is Emma Owens, and I'm the vice president of the club. I have been a part of the club for 3 years. So like Sydney, I know a good amount about the fundraiser, but I only attended one real in-person one. And then last year we had the online one.
And do you know where you're going next year?
Michigan State.
Michigan State, out to Central U.S. Wow. Congrats.
Yes.
Any particular study area, or that's still TBD?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. Good.
Yes. I have Lauren Wilson sitting next to me, and she's just going to introduce herself and say a few things about what she's been doing.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lauren Wilson. I graduated from FHS in 2016, and I went to Wentworth Institute of Technology and studied interior design. And I've just been coming back every year to help out the Empty Bowls and stay connected to the community. I think I started in 2015 when I was a junior. Yeah.
In the club?
So, yeah.
I don't know. Well,
maybe
let's see.
Senior?
We've been around. This is our sixth year. So
yeah,
she's
so that,
been involved.
That math would work.
Yeah.
She's been involved in the club. You know, she was part of the group that helped start the club and has been stayed connected from the beginning. So it's been so lovely for like a handful of students to kind of circle back and help, you know, help with the fundraiser or make objects for the silent auction. And since she's graduated, I think Lauren has made a piece every year. So it's been very cool.
Yeah, I think through some of the other social posts that I've seen via Twitter and Instagram, you've been sharing other graduates indoor works. I think it was Bree Atwood was one I also saw who participated in the audio that we did last year. She came back again this year to do another piece.
Yeah. So that's really exciting. It does, you know, not everyone does that, but it's just the beauty of Empty Bowls is that kind of, you know, the mission of the club is bigger than all of us. And so a lot of students plug in to kind of help raise awareness and just to kind of keep us moving forward. And so it's just, it's really amazing.
Yeah, I think given the changes that you've seen certainly through the school year and clearly the changes from the pandemic hitting the community. We know through other channels, the food pantry has been busier than normal and may likely be that way for a bit. So all this will certainly help. Yeah, every dollar helps. So let's talk a little bit more about the art itself. You've got a variety, clearly they're bowls generally, but I think you're also doing some special pieces for the silent auction.
Sure. I don't know if anyone else wants to tackle this, but you know, each year, you know, the mission of the club, there's like two things happening. For the first half of the school year, our goal is to kind of get together every Monday and just make the best bowls possible. Using simple hand building techniques. I think we like to say our bowls have character. you know, because there's a lot of different kids, you know, students accessing the club through different points. You know, some students are part of the ceramics program, some students are not, which is okay. So we like to say our bowls have character. And so the main focus, right? So yeah,
they do. This is I don't know what year this was, but this is one I've got at least one or two more. People listening can't see, but on right. my bookshelf behind me, I've got some bowls, and I do have one in my hand to share.
Yay. Here. So, like, that's the mission first off, you know, and then also kind of talking about the work of the Franklin Food Pantry and why we're doing this work and why it's important to come together. And raise awareness and also try and create some, you know, raise some critical funds for the pantry as well. And then as we shift into the second half of the year, we start to talk about the silent auction and start talking about, you know, a small group of students making more sophisticated, more elaborate objects to help raise, you know, additional funds, but it also allows students to plug into the fundraiser on a deeper level. And I think for the students who make these objects, they're a little more excited about the fundraiser. A lot of them like stand near their objects, you know, and it's just like, it's just really fun. And actually each of these students with us this afternoon have made an object for the silent auction. So they might be able to talk about, you know, why they've taken on that additional work. But that part of the project has been with us from the beginning, and it's been really successful and it's been really fun, you know, because sometimes like parents get into bidding wars and like so it creates like another level and another, it adds to the energy of the night when we've run the event under, you know, in previous years. It's just another layer to that night, which has been really nice. And so I've really liked how that's grown over the years.
Yeah, and it's sad to say, and yet it was for a good cause. My bids didn't get anything last year. They did up the prices in some cases, but they didn't get anything. So maybe I'll get something this year. Who knows?
Maybe.
So going into that, either Sydney or Emma, taking the additional time to do kind of a special piece, you want to talk about what piece you chose or why you chose to do the bigger piece, if you will?
Yeah, I can add on to what Ms. Johnson said for sure. So for me, the club is always about raising money for the food pantry. And so my main reason for making a silent auction piece was knowing that we can raise more money from it. Obviously, like Ms. Johnson said, people get into bidding wars. Mm-hmm. And so if I created a good enough piece that people wanted, then obviously we can raise more money for the food pantry. So that was really why I wanted to create a silent auction piece. And also just for the art aspect, I got to do something a little more challenging. So that was fun for me as well. And then I know Emma created a piece too.
Yes, I created a piece with Caroline Glevy, who is also a senior in the club. And obviously it helps raise more money and it made me feel like I was making more of a difference in the club rather than just kind of standing by and doing the same thing as everyone else. And it was definitely an art challenge to kind of try to make a ceramics piece, especially the one that we decided to make was a little bit bigger than what I would normally make. So it was just kind of a fun little challenge to do. And there was definitely more motivation knowing that people were going to bid on it. You kind of couldn't just slack off because you know, you just, no one's gonna want to buy a bad piece. So it was definitely a fun challenge.
And you worked together with somebody on that, so was it kind of two pieces together? How did you do that? Because is it just the one piece?
It's one piece. It's a plates, kind of like a charcuterie board. So okay. We kind of just both did like different aspects, kind of like just to make sure that one of us was always kind of working on it. If like one person couldn't come to a meeting, it was just more of like a collaborative effort, more so in like the planning and the the creating of the piece, but the actual piece, you wouldn't know that two people made it.
Unless you get your bare finger mark somewhere and then on the bottom.
Yes. Yes. Then you would know.
Then you would know. Yeah. No, I'm somewhat biased, but I like that collaboration aspect. I think it's one of the hidden things that, especially these days, you have to work together. You have to figure out how you're going to do it. Clearly, especially with technology now, in many cases, we're behind these Zoom boxes, et cetera. That interpersonal, or in your case, where you did it one week, she would do the next week, you know, that kind of continuity aspect. But those are all good things.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then Lauren made her a different, she worked in a different type of clay and fired it. And she worked in the raku clay, and she can talk about this in a minute. And so what's nice is that within the silent auction objects, you know, each year things get a little bit more advanced and we have people working in different clays and different glazes. And so it's kind of also showcasing, the silent auction also showcases kind of what's happening in the classroom and the growth of the clay program as well. And she can kind of speak to that a little bit too.
I guess for starters, like why I chose to like keep on doing this and like do a silent auction piece is I've always been like my art has always been 2D for the most part, never really ceramics or sculpture until I started taking your classes, Ms. Johnson. But yeah, so I for this piece, I worked in raku clay, and the process was really interesting because it's, you know, something I've never experienced before.
Just on that point, what's the difference between kind of raku clay and kind of, I don't know, normal clay?
Yeah, so, well, you can probably get into more of the nitty gritty, but I can.
Sure. For the most part, the classroom is in low fire clay. So in the clay world, there's a lot of different clay bodies that fire at different temperatures. And for the most part, the classroom is working in low fire clay with low fire glaze. So the raku clay is built for, it's still considered a low fire clay body. But it's fired a little differently. In many ways, you fire the piece here in the kilns, and then you glaze it with special glazes. And then you actually, the glaze fire is done in a special kiln where you're basically like lighting the piece on fire.
mine got a little too lit on fire.
A little too toasted.
It got a little burnt. So we're trying to fix that right now, but yeah. It also showcases like the growth of the classroom. Because when we first started doing the silent auction, we didn't have any raku pieces connected to it. And as the program has grown, that's kind of matriculated into the silent auction. And Lauren was interested in working in this process. And so she joined my AP 3D class in working in this clay, and then joined the firing that we did a few weeks ago and kind of saw how the process came together.
It's good to know, because I've heard the term referenced a few times, but I never really knew the difference. So thanks for sharing that. There is a difference. That's why it's raku clay.
Yeah. It's definitely a different technique. It was born in like Japan and China, and then it kind of made its way here in like the 1940s and the 1950s. And it's kind of all over now.
Yeah, it's fun because you get to like, obviously making a piece of, you know, art is all hands-on, but it was more like you got to be like hands-on throughout the entire process, like meaning like all the way through the firing. So like, you know, it was a very like, we had to like have good teamwork and like just a totally different experience, and you get to see it all the way through, which was cool.
Yeah. So instead of putting it in a kiln, it's a very much a community-based firing, and everyone has a different role and things happen really fast. And the surfaces that a raku fire produces are very kind of coppery and brassy, because there's a lot of lead in those glazes. That's why this process is not food safe.
Oh.
And it produces beautiful surfaces, but you don't see raku pieces done in functional objects like plates, cups and bowls. So anything that's in Raku is decorative. And so it's usually like a vase or, you know, a decorative plate of some sorts that you see done in the Raku technique. And Lauren made this really cool vase.
Okay. We'll be anxious. And obviously when the auction is available, I assume you'll still have the pictures of the finished pieces. So I remember just last year looking through all the pieces and the pictures, which was amazing to see the work that was done. It's just, you know, it's astounding to see it just came out of simple clay.
I know. It's crazy. We're very, very lucky. There's a lot of talent all across the board, you know, in the school and in Empty Bowls. And for the students that take on that extra work, you know, I don't, you know, they, each student is really creative and brings their own creativity to each project that they make. And so I'm so thankful for, you know, all the work these students have done.
Because they are works of arts. I know I've, even when we were quote last there 2 years ago, just standing at the table trying to pick out, well, which one do I want? Can I take all of them? No, there's only one.
We try to make it hard.
Yes. And you've succeeded. So that's good.
Yeah. Good.
So in addition to the bowls that we get to take away, and to a certain extent, maybe some of the competitive nature because of the art auction, you'll find out, oh, they got so much on that one. So what else do you as individuals take away from this event as well?
Well, I mean, the fundraiser is like the culmination of a year's worth of work. And so it's definitely disappointing that we again can't have that event, because it's like my favorite night of the entire year, mm-hmm. you know, outside of like graduation and awards night with the seniors. It's right. just like, it's the culmination of so much work, and having, you know, a whole bunch of students and parents and teachers and administration and community members in the cafeteria celebrating that, and then, you know, raising awareness and funds for the pantry. It's just such a lovely night. And so, you know, that's kind of what it's about, getting to that moment when we did it and everything mm-hmm. we got and everything as far as we could in meeting that deadline, and then celebrating that, and then celebrating the seniors simultaneously. And so like that's the motivation of getting to that point. So not having that again is definitely disappointing, but, you know, there's still, you know, we're still trying to, you know, just replace that a little bit, you know, in our reimagined event this year, and kind of bring that celebratory feeling, you know, into the classroom as we, you know, prepare for hopefully, you know, returning back to what we've done in previous years next year. I don't know if anyone else wants to speak to that, but that's kind of my interpretation.
It's kind of weird, especially last year, since it was, well, obviously so much was changing all at once. And but like you said, yeah, the night itself, like the event itself, is just like really does like brings the community together in a different way than like really any other event at that. I mean, I've been to at the mm-hmm. school, just kind of like, because you get to like learn and like learn new things and meet new people. And it's just, I think it's a really unique experience and event.
Yeah, I think just the one aspect, as opposed to the other events, with all due respect, the other events, certainly the award nights, the graduations, but there's a meal around this one generally when we're in person, and you're forced to take the time to enjoy the soup, right? So that gives you that much more time to talk with each other, find out what's going on, you know, the community really comes out.
For sure.
Yeah, I think it's a very rewarding event. I mean, obviously it's all to raise money for the food pantry, but also selfishly it's very rewarding, especially being like fully behind the scenes this year and seeing all the work that's gone into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just excited that we're having an event at all, because with this year, I tried not to get my hopes up for anything. So I think the event we're putting on is going to be a good one, and I'm glad we're having an event at all.
Well, we'll include links in the show notes to certainly to follow along with some of the other tweets and Instagrams and posts on the social side. Clearly, the link to the food pantry page to buy the tickets, although by the time this gets out, the tickets may not be there, but the link to the auction will be the key piece, and we'll highly recommend folks to at least check out the art. And oh, by the way, probably want to put in a bid on it and then maybe keep watching that bid.
Yeah, so we'll be posting the website that we're building as we speak. It'll go live 4:30 on Thursday when the event kind of kicks off here in the classroom. Anyone who wants to come to the event on Thursday, they can either pre-purchase a ticket through the Franklin Food Pantry, or they can just show up at the community entrance and make a minimum donation of $10. And then they'll have an opportunity to come into the classroom, meet some students, and select a bowl. So everything will start on Thursday, and then the website will continue on for maybe like what we're calling maybe like 10 days of giving. Mm-hmm. And we'll each kind of be participating in kind of pushing that on social media and trying to drive more people who perhaps didn't come to the classroom on Thursday an opportunity to continue to bid on silent auction objects, make a donation, and then we will also be giving all the bowls that are left from Thursday's event to the pantry, and we'll set up another time for people to pick up a bowl who made a donation through the website if they so choose.
And I think if there were any left over, you ended up giving them to, I think, pantry clients as well. Through the pantry, they gave them to clients. So they ended up going to some place so that they'll be somewhere. They won't be lost.
Yeah, they used them. There were a bunch of bowls left over from last year's event, and they used them throughout the year in different special events that the pantry ran. I think during the holidays, they filled the bowls with candy and gave them to different supporters and different folks that use the pantry. And so nothing really goes to waste. And so they get used, the bowls that are left over will get used in different ways throughout the year.
All right. Well, thank you in multiple thank yous. One, for continuing to do this. Two, for coming back to do this in Lauren's case. Thank you for on behalf of the food pantry and those clients, because that's the cause. But thank you for just continuing to persevere through the year to put this together. And I'm looking forward to seeing the art in the bowls that are out.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.